Well, we haven't had communion for a long time. It's been quite a few months since we've had communion. So I want you to turn in your Bibles today to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 27. We know communion is important, but why is it important? Why do we have communion every month? Why do we do it? It's definitely something the Bible tells us to do. It's a command of Scripture. Jesus instituted it, and the Bible instructs us to keep practicing it. But how does it benefit us as believers? Have you ever asked yourself that question? How does communion benefit us as believers? You know, why do we just keep doing it? Now, you're getting into my sermon, and that's dangerous. So let's examine the verses below and ask the Holy Spirit this morning to show us how taking communion can help us grow spiritually. And I believe that communion can help us grow spiritually. Can I hear an amen this morning? Father, we just thank you today for your precious word. And we pray this morning that the Holy Spirit will just do that work in our hearts today in the name of Jesus. Father, that everything that's of the flesh will be broken down, and Holy Spirit, you will have your unhindered way in our lives in the name of Jesus. Father, we're praying for a mighty breakthrough today, even as we participate in communion. And Lord, I'm going to thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's look at these verses this morning. I'm going to go verse by verse as we examine communion. Now, we're going to bypass, you know, the giving of the bread and the taking of the cup. And we're going to get to the interesting part that we often never talk about. How many know there's scriptures that we never talk about? Because sometimes they're uncomfortable. How many like to be uncomfortable? Okay, I see one hand. One person likes to be uncomfortable. How many know some of the scriptures can make us feel uncomfortable, but they're needed? We need to examine them. We need to examine them. So I want to go verse by verse from verse 27 to verse 32 and just look at these verses before we participate in communion today. Verse 27, therefore, whoever eats this bread and drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. Now that sounds serious to me. Whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. What does an unworthy manner mean? It means irreverently. It means approaching the Lord's table lightly, failing to recognize with great respect the great price that was paid for our salvation. And let me tell you, as we sang these songs this morning, Jesus paid a tremendous price for your salvation and my salvation. Amen? To take the cup of the Lord or to eat the bread in an unworthy manner, also means not having a sense of gratitude and thankfulness for all that he's done for us. Friends, if we have received any blessing from serving the Lord, it's because of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not our merit, not how good we are or how righteous we may appear. It is because of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 28. And that's where Daryl was getting into my sermon. He was getting into my head. But let a man, and can we add a woman? Someone said, you better. But let a man or a woman, notice there's only two, man or woman, examine themselves. And so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. So the Bible says that as we're participating in communion, we have to let the Holy Spirit examine us. We have to pause and let the Holy Spirit examine us. Now, when you go for an examination at the doctor's office, oh, I've got some terrible illustrations of what happens when you go to the doctor's office. How many have ever gotten an examination? Okay. I mean, when you do an examination by the doctor, he's looking for something, right? Hopefully he's looking for something. He's, you know, testing to see if there's anything wrong with you. Right? Now, I've had examinations, and, you know, they do this. You know, they're looking for something. And it's the same thing before we take communion. The Holy Spirit is examining and looking into our lives to see if there's anything there that would hinder the work of the Holy Spirit. The word examine has the connotation of discernment, a full disclosure of the true condition of our hearts. Now, that doesn't sound too exciting. Does it? To really know. You know, I was praying in the middle of the night last night. Someone else was telling me they were praying in the middle of the night last night. And I was saying, Lord, just reveal if there's anything in my heart that's displeasing to you, show it to me. You know, that's a dangerous prayer. That's a real dangerous prayer. And sometimes we don't want to pray it because we're afraid of what the Holy Spirit is going to show us. But let me tell you this. Whatever the Lord shows you, he will give you the grace and the power to deal with it. Can somebody say amen this morning? He will give you the grace and the strength and the power to deal with it. Is there anything deep within us that needs to be confessed or repented of? Now, the Bible says the heart is deceitful above all things. Who can understand it? So sometimes we don't even see the things that we're doing that are offending the Lord. I'm not talking about offending people. I'm talking about offending the Lord. You know, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit can be grieved. Isn't that true? So we want the Holy Spirit to show us sometimes we're doing something and we don't even know that we're doing it. Hello? We don't even know we're doing it. Unless our wife tells us. Oh, the Holy Spirit. Sorry about that. I got confused. But you know what? Thank God for the conviction of the Holy Spirit. I want to say it again. Thank God for the conviction of the Holy Spirit. Is there anything deep within you that needs to be confessed and repented of? Only the Holy Spirit can show you. Verse 29. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself. Now again, we like to bypass these verses and go to the good ones about blessing and how much he loves us and all this other stuff. But, you know, you got to take the good medicine with the bad medicine, right? The stuff that you know, I see my daughter. She's not here this morning, so I can talk about her. I see her drinking this stuff, and she's holding her nose as she's drinking it. And I'm wondering, why is she doing that? Why are you doing that? She said, because if I didn't, it would taste terrible. You know, you got to take the good with the bad, right? You just can't look at all the good scriptures, all the blessing scriptures, without looking at the scriptures that, you know, make it appear, and I think it's true, that this is a serious thing serving God. This is a serious thing serving God. Some people don't take it serious enough. They think it's just a walk in the park. It's not. It's serious. So the Bible says, if you don't stop and allow the Holy Spirit to examine your life, you are going to be judged. Oh boy, that sounds, again, not discerning the Lord's body. So here it is. You can't say you never heard it. Too late. Here it is. To go ahead with communion and be unwilling to deal with whatever the Holy Spirit shows us is to negate the main reason Jesus died, to free us from our sins and to forgive us. Right? That's why Jesus died. To forgive us of our sins and to free us from our sins. Hallelujah. To liberate us from our sins. Can I go a little deeper? Okay, thank you. If our attitude is not right, God, oh, don't you thank him for this? Come on, somebody, just thank him this morning. God will have to correct it. That's how much God loves you and me. That if he sees something that's hindering our walk with God, and we don't want to deal with it, God is going to bring correction into our lives. Now, we blame the devil, and we blame a lot of people, but sometimes it's the correction of the Holy Spirit. Verse 30, and again, I didn't write this, so don't come after the service and say, Pastor Ripley, I don't like that verse. I didn't write it. But this is what it says. I'm just going verse by verse this morning. For this reason, if we don't want to be corrected, or if we don't want to deal with our sin, God chastises us, and some of these ramifications will happen. We don't want to talk about this. We don't hear about this. But it's the truth. It's right here in the scriptures. For this reason, many are weak or frail. Now, I don't want anyone to think that if somebody's frail, that, you know, they're sinning against the Lord. That's not true. I'm just saying that in some instances, it can bring weakness. And it can make us sick. Hello? Did you know that bitterness and unforgiveness can affect the bones? It can affect the bones. Now, don't misunderstand what I'm saying. Everyone that has arthritis, it doesn't mean that they're sinning. I'm just saying that in some instances, this can happen. And the last one is, and many sleep. That doesn't mean like when you go home this afternoon and you have a snooze. That's not what it's talking about. This word sleep is talking about death, premature death. Look it up in the original languages. It's exactly as I've said it. Death. Do you know you can die prematurely? Out of the will of God, even as believers? So this is very serious. Unrepentive sin can bring severe consequences. Now, let me rephrase something. It doesn't mean that if you're struggling with something, God is going to, you know, hammer you. No, he's not talking about that. He's not talking about people that are struggling with something in their life and they're endeavoring to do the right thing. We're talking about people that know what they ought to do and they refuse to do it for whatever reason. Now go down to verse 31. Again, we're just going verse by verse, right? Verse 31. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. So if we accept what the Holy Spirit shows us and deal with our sins, we can avoid severe consequences. The Holy Spirit reveals something to us. We say, Lord, you're right. Just like David did. When the prophet came to David and said, you are the man. David didn't say, well, forget you. I'm just going to. No, he said, I have sinned. I have sinned. Why is that such a wrong thing to say? You know, I loved a prayer that was offered this morning before we came up here. Lord, we don't know what we're doing. We are depending on you. What's wrong with saying that? We don't know what we're doing. We need God every step of the way. We're frail. We make mistakes. We sin. We mess up. But thank God for his forgiveness through the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Can you shout amen, somebody? But some people hold on to their sin like, you know, they're Superman. They think if they confess something, that's weakness. No, it's not. It's strength. It's strength. And we should accept people when they ask for forgiveness. We should restore them when they ask for forgiveness. So if we will judge ourselves, if we will examine, let the Holy Spirit examine us, then we can avoid some serious consequences. Now, I know we don't like sometimes for God to start digging around. You know, if you dig around in your garden, sometimes you can find stuff. I remember my dad, he loved gardening. And he was an amazing gardener. Like, he had a huge garden. And he just loved to be outside. He loved nature. He loved flowers. He loved animals. He loved planting. And he was out gardening one time, and he found an old pair of glasses that belonged to me. I don't know when I did it, but somehow I didn't like those glasses. I buried them in the backyard. But when my dad started digging around, he found them. And I had to come clean. Yeah, I had to come clean. There's a lot of times I had to come clean as a kid. You know, the Bible says, be sure your sins will find you out. I don't like that verse, but it's true. It's true. So when God starts digging around, he finds stuff. But it's only for our benefit. It's only for our benefit. It's only so that we can be blessed in a fuller way, to have a greater anointing upon our lives. Okay, last verse. But when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord, that we may not be condemned with the world. The purpose of consequences. If God has to chastise us, how many have ever been chastised by the Lord? Okay, some didn't lift their hands. I got both hands. The purpose of consequences is to get us back on track. To wake us up and make us realize that what we're doing is destroying and hindering our walk with God. One last verse. It's not up there, but you can turn to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 7. And I'm going to end with this. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? But if you are without chastening, so if you're without it, if you've never experienced it, it says here, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not real children of God. Because God chastises all his children at times and seasons in their lives. Right? Furthermore, we have had human fathers who corrected us and we paid them respect. My dad, when he did something wrong, his father would take him out in the woods and let him pick his own switch or a piece of wood or a piece of branch. My dad, I don't know if I agree with that or not, but my dad said he would try to find the tenderest That's probably the worst one. You've been there, right? And we paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? For they indeed for a few days chastened us as seemed best to them. But he, speaking of God, for our profit, that we may be partakers of his holiness. So the only way to partake of God's holiness is sometimes we have to endure chastisement, correction. Now look at verse 11. Now no chastening seems to be joyful for the present. How many know it's not happy times? Happy times. But painful. You know, God allows us to experience painful things sometimes for a purpose. We don't like to talk about that. Let's talk about something else, please. But that's what the Bible says. Nevertheless, afterward it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness. You're going to be more like Jesus through this. Something is going to be eradicated from your life through this. There, you're going to experience some deliverance through this. To those who have been trained by it. So we've allowed God to chastise us. We've accepted it. And we have gained from it. We have come out the other side more like Jesus. Right? Isn't that what you pray for your children when they were small and you disciplined them? You wanted them to be more like Jesus. You wanted them to grow up and have a heart for God. This morning, I think before we partake of communion, we should take a moment and just allow the Holy Spirit to examine our lives. You know what? This message is powerful because it's the Word of God and it can bring revival. Can I say it again? This message, these scriptures are the foundation for a mighty revival. Hallelujah. That's how revivals have started. People have stood up right in the congregation and said, you know what? I messed up. I'm a sinner. I need forgiveness. And then someone else would stand up and say, I've messed up and I need forgiveness. And before you know it, a Holy Ghost revival broke out. Father, we just thank you this morning. Lord, as we come to this time in the service where we can just participate in communion, Lord, we're just asking that you would do your work in each one of our hearts, Lord. That deep, lasting work. Father, examine us right now. We're asking, Lord, is there anything in our hearts? Go deep within us, Lord, today and in the days to come, and reveal some things that only you can show us because you love us and you care for us. Lord, do that work. I pray this morning. Jesus, mighty name, I pray. Take a moment of silence this morning. I want to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. Lord, forgive us this morning. Cleanse us. Lord, we don't have everything together all the time. We fail you sometimes. We make some mistakes, errors in judgment. That's why we need you, Lord, every moment of the day. And we thank you this morning for the forgiveness that comes through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, I just thank you for that. I praise you for that. In Jesus' mighty name. Verse 23, for I have received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you." Oh, thank you, Jesus, for allowing your body to be broken for us. Oh, Lord, we thank you for the new covenant. We thank you for your broken body. With your stripes, we are healed. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Let's partake together. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Let's partake together. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Hallelujah. Can we stand this morning?